81. So if mom's here for graduation, she's going to be happy.
It makes for
weekend.
A perfect weekend. Tell you what, when it rains on commencement weekend, it just makes life awfully tough for
yep.
everybody. People trying to get in and out of the arena and the parties oftentimes outside and that type of thing. So right. we're looking forward to that.
Yeah. Finals. Did you pass your finals?
I haven't gotten my grades yet.
Good. Well, I guess that's a good place to start. SIU President Randy Dunn joining us because there are people being scored, measured,
yes, there are.
And weighed for the chancellor position. And the decision not to make a decision yet, need to do more work, I think was what I saw one of the trustees quoted. We need more work here.
Well, we'll have a chance to do more work. What they had decided last night with a meeting in Edwardsville, after a considerable amount of time spent going through the strengths and relative merits of the three finalist candidates, was that they decided that they wanted to bring them up for interviews and to have a little larger pool to work with. They're going to pull in a couple of other finalists, non-finalists, but individuals who, in the review of the search advisory committee that's been meeting this year, scored well, if you will, in their ratings. Based upon a review of their credentials. So we're going to pull in a couple of other folks to be part of that process. And the board's going to come together for a couple of days, bring all of them in, spend some time kind of putting them through their paces, and go back for some further discussion.
One of the first things when I saw that, somebody said to me, says, does that bode well for Brad Caldwell? Because he's already there. They're saying,
right.
We're going to go look in other places, in particular the interest in the person who's holding the interim
right.
title right now.
Yeah, I think Brad's still a very viable and credible candidate. And I do think the board realizes that over these past 2 years, he's been put in a position of having to manage through one of the most severe times of financial retrenchment challenge on that campus, given the 23 months that we've been in the
under
statewide
siege.
Budget impasse. I'll take that phrase,
under siege.
And it's exactly coincided with his interim term. And he's been leading through a process that when it's completed here in July, will have cut $51 million out of the SIU Carbondale budget. Now, when you're having to have meetings with faculty members and deans and people who are donors and others around the university and deliver that news and then work through a process by which you try to put the pieces back together and have something to move forward with, that has, shall we say, political costs, not in a partisan sense, of course, but in what some would call the micropolitics. There's a cost to doing
Absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
And he's stepped up, played that role. And, now we're at this point, some people remember that and have, have an opportunity to express their feelings.
It's interesting that you mention that, Randy, because I think the reason why is because you see it from your position, too.
Right.
There's been a cost for the things you've had to
yes,
do.
Absolutely.
And
people don't like it.
But it's born out of necessity.
Yes, it is.
I mean, you're not the guy who didn't come up with a budget.
That's right.
All right?
My guess is those people who may be taking some issue with the fact that some difficult decisions have had to be made and that type of thing are also glad to keep getting their paychecks and to not have been furloughed to this point and to not have their unit shut down, which in some other places around the state was the action that in fact was taken to keep the doors of a place open, and we haven't. Now, I will say this. Our trustees get that. They understand it. But they also are saying, I believe, that this is going to be one of the most critical hires, one of the most essential decisions to get right for the future of the university. And they just want to make sure that they're leaving no stone unturned, that they're doing their work as trustees. I mean, nobody wants to volunteer necessarily, and I got to give a shout out to them. Nobody wants to volunteer and go sit in some meeting room for 2 days with these intensive interviews of five people as we come into the beautiful summer months. But they said, this is our role. We got to take time to do this to absolutely make sure this is the right call. So they're going to come back and talk to some folks and hopefully get a decision emanating from that.
Because nothing could be worse than somebody who works 6 months as chancellor and leaves 4 foot of paper on their desk and then leaves.
That's never happened at Carbondale, has it?
It has. And see,
we've got to get some continuity at this place.
There you
Tom.
Go.
We've got to get some continuity
leadership
at this place.
And the subtext of what you and I are really talking about is morale in the difficult
That's
time.
Right.
When you're in the lifeboat, do you want some? You want somebody up in the bow of the boat making good calls.
That's right. And again, this is the role for the board to think through to make sure that they're absolutely certain. As ultimately they make that call. I mean, this is a hire of the Board of Trustees, so that ultimately they make that right call. So to their credit, they're going to kind of double down, get some folks in, have these intensive discussions. I'll be sitting there as part of that. And that will add information to their deliberations. I mean, we spent last night up at Edwardsville about 3 hours in a closed session with the board. And I mean, it was vigorous discussion debate. So for folks who may be worried that this isn't getting taken seriously, or at the board's, you know, maybe not approaching this decision the right way. I mean, there was work going on there last night, vigorous debate, a good back and forth, where they finally came to the point and said, okay, we're not there yet. Let's get the folks in, do what we got to do, and come back and start deliberating again.
And then
that's what we'll do.
And then the other portion of that is borrowing money from another campus,
yes.
SIUE. And I think some people may go, well, it's SIU. Why do you have to borrow from inside the system?
Good question.
I think a lot of people at first blush, they go, but isn't it already there?
Yes, it is there. This is one university budget. It is one university audit. It is one university financial accounting system. It is one budget under the ultimate control of the Board of Trustees. So it was this weird situation over this past month or so, first at the April board meeting that took place in Carbondale and then the special last night up at Edwardsville. It was this weird situation where the board was asking permission to borrow money from itself and ultimately voted unanimously, yes, to do so. However, there were a couple of
$35 million
cap. So there were a couple of weird aspects, though, that caused the board to say, "Okay, let's do this in the public eye. Let's be transparent about it." And the couple of factors were these. One of which, it was the first time the borrowing had ever taken place in that direction. We do interfund loans with some bit of frequency.
Well, because I see SIU as the mothership.
Well, I understand. SIU Carbondale is viewed that way historically, et cetera. I understand. But we've done some number of interfund loans, and sometimes within a given campus. But there have been a couple of times in the history where loans have gone to Carbondale, from Carbondale, to Edwardsville, but this is the first time that it's gone the other direction.
Right.
And to do this type of thing, you've got to work with the chancellor, you got to work with the budget director, you got to work with the vice chancellor, and there's no sense trying to be secretive about it. People know what's going
Under
on.
Under current circumstances, that would be counterproductive.
It gets
as
you nowhere, and it would have caused this tsunami of concern and hand wringing up at Edwardsville. So if we're going to do that. As opposed to other borrowing transactions we do internally, we might as well just tell everybody, make it public, let them know what's going on. The other thing that played into this is that the two SIUs are independent, standalone, separately accredited institutions. Now, for those who have been following the inside baseball, you're aware that we've been using unrestricted reserves from the School of Medicine for quite some time now, through a lot of this impasse, to keep operations going at the Carbondale campus. Well, if you look at how the accreditors view the School of Medicine, and we talk about it as a separate campus, the medical campus, our Springfield campus, you know, 2,000 students, what have you. But if you look at how the feds, the accreditors view the School of Medicine, it is seen as a branch campus of Carbondale.
Right.
And is accredited for the feds' purposes with the Carbondale campus as a whole. So there isn't as much concern in doing that interfund borrowing with that being handled as an administrative action. However, Edwardsville is a separately accredited campus from SIU Carbondale. We talk to the accreditors about this. There's an agency that does our overall accreditation for the federal government that allows access to federal student loans. And we called them and said, here's what we're looking at, what we're thinking about. And they asked some questions. They said, well, what does this do to the Edwardsville campus? Does it put them in difficult straits? No, we said they have sufficient
reserves.
Affect
their credit rating?
Well, that's an again, that's all of SIU. It's an SIU credit rating.
It's a single number.
Single number, one budget.
Good.
But they said, we do appreciate having the consultation. And the feeling was, it probably makes sense, again, to have official board action, given you've now got two separately accredited institutions. But yes, I mean, it is borrowing money. Loaning yourself money, so to speak. But we thought we better get out there in front of it, let the public know, Edwardsville constituencies, keep the accreditors okay, and move forward that way.
It's interesting. We were talking about piles of money. I've talked about piles of money with Walter Windler and Glenn Pichard.
When we had piles of money.
Right. I said, well,
I'm being a little tongue-in-cheek.
Of course. I think everybody knows that, I hope, that we had this small stack, call it.
Yeah.
But you have to understand, this money can only be used for this, and
right.
that money can only be used for right. this. And I'm saying, look, Glenn, this apples and oranges comparison has to come to an end at some point when you're in a financial situation like we are, and come to the realization it's all fruit.
Right.
And some people getting them through the funnel is apparently a problem. In a quote from the Daily Egyptian, faculty representative from SIUE, took exception to Carbondale campus borrowing from the SIUE's Rainy Day Fund, saying Kim Archer, an associate professor of music at SIUE, vice president of the university's faculty association, likened the unchecked borrowing, her words, at the Carbondale campus to an addiction and urged the board to set the proposal aside. She says, they burned through much of their own reserves, apparently burned through a good deal of the system savings. Then they tapped the medical school dry, and now they're coming after us. We say we thought ahead. We were proactive.
So you want me to react? All due respect to her, she doesn't know what she's talking about. And she's using hyperbole to inflame a situation, in my view. Again, this is my opinion. It's not the board's. It's not in a position of the university. But in my view, she's using hyperbole for possibly other purposes. I won't speculate what those are. But in terms of the characterization of that, I think a bit over the top.
But, you know, that's the world we live in. Everything seems to be over the top all the time, doesn't it?
Well, it's, what we live with now.
Isn't it? One thing that I thought was interesting, a guy was sitting on the porch the other day, and a guy just walked up and started talking to me about money and the state of Illinois, and about, you know, he was a grad student at SIU.
Oh, okay.
And said, $51 million, just bought a house in my neighborhood. he says, we've cut $51 million down there. I said, what I find interesting is the announcement this week about the SIU Foundation saying they've got a three-year program to raise $75 million
yes.
for scholarships.
Yes.
See, because I see those two numbers in the parallel. Mm-hmm. Look, if we can't rely on this, we've got to try something
that's right.
new. And
that's
the
right.
first thing I thought of. We've got to try something new, and this is us
that's right. that's
looking
right.
for help.
Yeah, and last weekend, the foundation kicked off that campaign, again, a three-year campaign, as you mentioned, with a goal of $75 million. They've got about 33 to 35 raised in a so-called quiet phase. That's typically how you do these campaigns. You try to get some of those gifts in. You claw back some of the giving of the year. And they've got a good start.
People give to when you've got, got a little money. When you've got nothing,
right.
they go, well, we'll see who goes first.
Yeah. That's exactly right. So the foundation board, which met last weekend at Carbondale, has been working very hard to put this together. There's a national steering committee, if you will, to lead this campaign. And those individuals spoke and really started their work in a big public way. With donors and others gathered at the campus this past weekend. So I'm really excited about it. It's something, obviously, that we need. It's geared to the students of the university. It's not all just scholarships. So, Tom, if you want to come give us $1 million,
right.
and you would like to, for instance, build a lab or provide that money to Saluki Athletics, we're going to let you do that.
It doesn't have
to be for scholarships.
Right.
But essentially, whatever we do, we're trying to work with those donors, whether they be individuals or family foundations or corporate giving, to get it directed to something that will ultimately benefit students in some way. In some cases, it could be scholarships. In other ways, it might be an endowed professor. We have very few for an institution our size.
Especially
and being,
a research university.
Yeah, for a research university, we need to build our endowed professorships. These great national thinkers and researchers in a highlighted field. Who we can come in and make sure that they're working closely with students. If we're going to do something, say with athletics, it's great, and we're going to take your money for what you want to do. But if we can do something that maybe drives some, for instance, sports endowments to students, or allows us to help the grants that would go to support student athletes, whatever the case may be,
we
want to try to make sure we always have an angle that has an ultimate payoff, benefit, betterment that students can see as a result of that giving. And Lord knows we need it now as badly as we ever have.
You know, as we close up this year and graduation this weekend, and we close up our time for today, I'm already thinking about enrollment for spring.
Yes.
Fall, excuse me. I am, and I'm not the only one.
Right.
I've heard from my sources inside, you know, that it's not encouraging early.
No, the numbers right now are very challenged, and I'm not sure that everybody totally shows their hand, but we talk with the other universities. Our enrollment folks are in contact with other enrollment folks, and statewide among the publics, everybody's very challenged. Not U of I. They always fill every slot they have, but they're having, in terms of the student profile, the characteristics, they're having to dip down some in terms of ACT scores and class standing to get all of those seats filled. So it's even in some way affecting them.
But they're spending money like maniacs, man.
They have no problem doing that, I understand. But some would say that about SIU, too.
Well, the athletics department overspent. I mean, and had the AD had to come out and say, oh, yeah, we were $11 million in the hole.
Yeah, that was surprising, I think, to many
Caught
folks
my attention.
Who know the business here around the state of Illinois. But we are going to have a time building that class. Our folks, and we're fully staffed, continue to go at it very hard.
But let's talk about that.
But we got to get them in the door.
Because you and I talk about stacks of money, and we talk about saying, oh, you guys went through your fund, and we talked about there's not a state budget. But you and I do not, and maybe someday we will, have the time to talk about how universities, how colleges affect somebody's life, their ability to earn money, what they contribute to the culture. I often talk about universities in two senses in my mind, the difference between love and lust.
Okay. I'll bite. What are you talking about?
Love is engineering department. They are the people who build bridges. They are the, right? They're the practical knowledge, Air Force, aviation.
The
right?
Utilitarian folks, right? those majors.
And right? Love and lust.
Yes.
Right? Lust and love. Right? And then you've got the poetry, and you've got the music department, and you've got
the
theater,
arts,
and all
the humanities. Yes.
You've got one that makes life, and you've got the other that makes life worth living.
Yes.
And that's what we teach at SIU.
Yes, we do.
And I think that because I have seen, I tell you what, I doubt very seriously you'll find another person like me in Southern Illinois. I have been training SIU graduates since 1976.
Mm-hmm.
Every year of my life since 1976, I've been training graduates.
You see them
in
the
workplace, right? I know, I've seen what goes on with failures and successes. You know, from Buckminster Fuller to Jim Hart to Gale Sayers, these great names in heritage. And I don't know whether it's a nostalgia and a yearning for the good old days, but I know what we're bloody well capable of.
Yes.
And I'd like to see us return to that, creating great new human, rounded human beings to come out into the workplace and contribute. And that's what SIU does. And we talk about money, and we stop talking about the mission, and I think that's an incredible loss.
Which again, is why we're in this business. You're talking about the nature of a comprehensive university. And I say this with all due respect to my great colleagues in the community colleges, but universities, great universities, are more than big community colleges. It's not just about workforce preparation. It's not just about working with corporate and industry settings to provide rapid training and workforce displacement programs. Comprehensive universities have to have both, to follow your analogy or line of thinking. Comprehensive universities have to have both love and lust. Now, I understand, maybe we don't need the slate of programs at every one of the 12 state universities. Maybe that needs to be thought through a little more closely. I'm open to that, and I think most of the presidents in the state of Illinois are. But if you're going to have a system of public universities, you have to have some on both sides
yes.
of that fence. That
and
you
I would
described.
Have argued with you about that probably 10 years ago, maybe 15.
Many people argue with me now. What?
But I don't.
What do we teach these things?
Because I think everybody's an artist and everybody's a musician if you let them be that, and they're happier as a result.
Yes.
And when they're happier, they're more productive and they're better employees. And
you've just made my case. You just made the case that I say on my stump speech. Well, why do we have to have an art department anyway? What do we do that for? You've made the argument right there.
And I'm a high school graduate who's literally a dumb redneck piece of white trash who says, look, I know that life is better with these things.
Yes. Yes.
And I don't want to see them go away, whether it's the university or high school or
and
grade
there's,
school.
And there's a place that is the repository of this work. Now museums, too. We don't want to count them out. But this is what universities have been doing for 500 years. And what so concerns me...
Well, you can go all the way back to Plato. And
well, if you want to go back to sitting on the stump and listening to Plato, we can do that, too.
The pillars of the academy.
That's right.
Why you exist.
That's
to contribute
right.
to the university, to teach more.
That's right.
And to learn more.
That's right. So this is why it's so concerning to me as we go through this state budget crisis, because we're being put in a position now. It's not just that... You know, we did $20 million of trimming around the so-called edges, which I hate to use that term, but we got $20 million that way. A couple of people here not getting hired in an apartment, cut travel there, don't buy a piece of machinery here. And we got $20 million out of that to carry us through for these 22, 23 months. That's over. Now the total, unless something gets done in Springfield and soon, now the total jumps to $51 million, another $30 added on. We can't keep doing that in bits and pieces here and there. And now we start dismantling the university and those pieces that provide both sides of the equation, both sides of the fence. We're going to lose them. And then to try to get them back becomes almost impossible. And that's why we're at such a critical juncture, why we've got to get this state thing figured out. And if they don't get that budget done, they better turn on the tap pretty soon, whether it's another stopgap. I know it's not the way to run the business. You and I both have talked about that. But you can't run a state system of public universities without some state money to at least help that share of the overall budget. We've been dropped off a cliff, and it's got to stop.
SIU President Randy Dunn.
Randy, thank you, sir.
Thanks for your time.
Absolutely.
Next time you come in, let's talk about sophistry. What do you think?
Let me look it up before we're back.
That's all right. I have some reference material for you. Marcus Aurelius, the translations of the 13
yes,
books. That's a good way to go. They didn't teach that at Harrisburg High School,
I understand.
By the way.